Hey everybody, it's JT. What is on your holiday meal shopping list? Well, I would suggest Painted Hills Natural Beef. It is some of the best beef in the world. And your friends and family will be thanking you for a long time if you serve Painted Hills Natural Beef for your holiday meals. And now you can buy it online just by going to PaintedHillsBeef.com. Use the code BBQNATION at checkout and save yourself 15% on your order. Give Painted Hills Natural Beef a place on your table this holiday season.
It's Barbecue Nation with JT on a Northwest Lifestyle Weekend. Now here's JT.
Hey everybody, welcome to the nation. That'd be the Barbecue Nation. I'm JT along with Second in Command Dr. Dave here in the Turn It, Don't Burn It studios in downtown Portland. I'd like to welcome all of our affiliates along the Radio Northwest Network. I can't do it properly, but gobble, gobble, gobble. It's time to pick your bird. I hope that doesn't sound rude to you. So I have some quick questions for you. Do you know what you're doing when it comes to selecting your turkey? Well, we're going to find out if you do or you don't. Today, our guest in the studio is our friend Mark Anderson, our resident turkey expert from Champouille Farms down in the Charbonneau area. Partially he's here because he raises a huge pile of giblets every year, and I love giblets, and he does excellent work raising his birds, and he's been doing it for a while. So Mark, welcome.
Well, thank you. Thank you for having me.
You, ever get an introduction like that
before? Not that good.
Not that good?
No.
By the way, our music today is from Alan Jackson in between. So let's just start from the top. How do people go about picking a good bird for Thanksgiving?
Well, the practical approach is most commonly used, which is, how many guests am I having for dinner?
Yeah.
And then that's typically 1.5 to 2 pounds per guest.
Per guest.
Yes. But beyond that, in my circle, it's a lot to do with how the bird was raised and what kind of life it had before that one bad day.
Well, it's, yeah, well, unfortunately, we all get that day at some point.
Yes.
Maybe not
yes.
In the way the turkeys do, but.
No, well, we try and make it as simple and humane as possible.
Sure.
But yeah, it's basically on size, and then it really comes down to, you know, your preferences with organic, natural, GMO-free, free range, confinement, cheap, free. I think a lot of people go for the free.
Yeah, you buy $100 worth of groceries mm-hmm. and you get a 25-pound bird or something.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's from a year ago.
Yeah.
So on and so forth.
Those are the ones that didn't sell.
Yeah. And I don't know. I don't know for sure, but yeah, that seems
that's
pretty cheap.
Yeah, well, when you're giving away something that normally would sell for, what, $40?
Yeah, yeah.
It's got to have some age on it.
Yeah, either that or maybe these farms in the, you know, all the most of the turkeys are from the Midwest these days because that's where the feed's produced. Maybe those farms, these are the birds they produce in the wintertime or something. I don't know.
How would you know if you got a bad bird? I mean, other than it just like smelling bad when you were cooking it or something. And most people probably don't know.
Yeah, there would probably be a bad smell on it as it's thawing. Or if for some reason it wasn't frozen.
Uh-huh.
I'd be kind of nervous on that. Because this whole notion of fresh is kind of... The USDA defines frozen as, I think, below 27 degrees. So there's a lot of fresh birds out there that aren't really fresh.
Yeah.
But we freeze all ours down to negative 10. Butcher them in September, October, and it's just easier. Keeps them fresher.
I know there was a couple times in years past, I had a friend, very good friend, that worked at not at New Seasons, but a comparable type store.
Mm-hmm.
And he had me order fresh birds like that. To tell you the truth, at that time, from what I got there, and that's why we're not naming names, but I thought that the butterballs were just as good at that point.
Well, you also know how to cook it.
Yeah, well, that's an advantage. But
yes.
Yeah. But still, all this, the hoopla he was making, I should say, about... And it wasn't you guys. I don't know where the hell they were getting these birds from. But they had not been frozen. They had just been kind of chilled.
Because
they had only been dead a couple of days or something when they came in. But I wasn't that sold on the deal.
Mm.
Just now the bird I got from you the last year or two, great stuff.
Yeah.
Great stuff.
I think that comes down to a lot of the fresh air in the space. I mean, we had at our peak late August, maybe had 1,500 to 2,000 birds on 30 acres. Somebody could do the math, but it's a lot of space. And when the weather is perfect, like in the morning and evening, they're spread out. They'll go all over the place.
Yeah.
Because it's just been big, open, fenced paddock. So that's a lot of fresh air and space and spreads out their droppings. We move their trailer, their shelter, and their food and their water three times, every 3 days, twice a week. And that really helps keep them so where they're bedding down at night, they're not bedding down on stinky stuff. And
yeah.
It's, the whole process is pretty time-consuming.
Well, I've been to your place, and I liked what I saw, the way you had things organized, and you were explaining the rotation process.
Organized?
It was fairly organized. Remember, I grew up on a farm, so I thought it looked organized compared to some of the stuff we did.
Well, we try.
Yeah. No, it was really good. How long does it take to grow a turkey up to harvest weight?
Okay, that's cool. This year, with our awesome weather we had in October,
right?
Either I fed them too well or they gained weight faster, but I think I cut a week off. So it's about 14 to 15 weeks on pasture.
Mm-hmm.
So in confinement, they can do that in 12 to 13 weeks. So
are you buying these as already hatched, or are you raising them from eggs?
They're being hatched in West Virginia and shipped over United States Postal Service. So I get them a day old.
Well, they put a express mail sticker on their head or what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
That's cool.
You know the yolk, like with the salmon?
Yeah.
The yolk is inside them and gives them 3 days without food or water.
Really?
Yep. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
So they hatch on in the morning. They have them at the post office by that afternoon. And then I get them a day and a half later. So, and they look great. It's sometimes there's a weird situation. You'll get them on day four and they're kind of berserker, but that's only happened once or twice.
Do you just turn them loose then?
Oh, no. Turkeys. The first 4 weeks of turkeys is really exciting. No, we have them in a brooder. They have to maintain at least 105 to 95 degree window within 5 feet of their hover. And you have to watch them like a mother hen for the first 4 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And then after that, they get more space, you know, about a square foot per bird for that first 2 or 3 weeks. And then they go, you know, incrementally bigger and bigger.
So when can you finally kick them out?
We put them on pasture by week six, week seven.
Okay.
Based on the weather.
And how much have they grown since the time you got them? I'm assuming they're under a pound roughly, or maybe out of pound when you first get them, or they're pretty light. Let's just put it that way. I don't know what the weight is.
Couple ounces.
Okay.
Quarter pound.
And with cheese? But how much weight have they gained just for kick them out 6 weeks later?
Man, I bet they're the size of a small chicken, so maybe about 4 pounds at week six. But they're working on developing all their inner organs, and then it's bones, and then the meat comes on heavy after week 10. So if you want a small hen, which we do a lot of hens now because they just look right. That round heart shape. You don't want to butcher anything before week 12, week 14, or it's just legs and bones and
scrawny.
So, yeah. They just don't. Yeah.
I know sometimes, you know, when you, go to the store and you're looking for turkey legs, 'cause I like to smoke turkey legs, you know, during the regular year and stuff. And some of them you get are huge.
Yeah.
They're Herco. And then others you get are little scrawny ones that look like, from what you're telling me, I'd be guessing that they're probably whacked them when they're week 10 or 12 or something, and that they're not that big. Either that or they're very overdeveloped chickens that they're passing off or something.
No, you're probably thinking about an 18 or 19 pound bird would have a small drumstick.
Mm-hmm.
When I mean saying they don't look right, I mean their legs are really long. The bone has been developed, but they haven't put on the muscle.
Okay.
But yeah, we did, for the first time, we're doing parts at New Seasons right now. And our drumsticks are on average 2 pounds. But those came from a 40-pound turkey. So that's the other thing we do is cut up.
Yeah.
So we sell some really nice turkey breast lunch meat to Grand Central Bakeries in Portland, and the thigh goes to New Seasons. And this year they're doing parts. But those big boys, they're drumsticks. Yeah, they're 2.5 pounds. Thighs are 1 pound. It's impressive. Breasts on some of those. We had one guy who produced 2 10-pound breasts on one turkey.
Okay, I'm not going to go there right now. Just, I think that's phenomenal, but I get the jokes going through my head. Anyway, we're talking with Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms, and we're going to take a break here on Barbecue Nation. Come back and talk more turkey right after this.
Daddy want a radio. He tuned it to a country show.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Mark Anderson today from Shampooey Farms down in the Charbonneau area. We're going to get to more of that in just a second. If you'd like to email us, it's bbqnation@kxl.com. If you want to send us a recipe, they have recipes at kxl.com. Check us out on Facebook at Barbecue Nation with JT. And also, if you want to go online and do the SoundCloud thing, it's Barbecue Nation with JT. I mean, it's all the same. Anyway, there you go. Hi to a couple of our affiliates, KPNW in Eugene and KVI in Seattle. Now back to our guest, Mark Anderson. I've been to Mark's farm down there. All you got to do is go down I-5, take a right at Charbonneau, and head towards St. Paul. And really, you're out there, what, about 4 miles or something?
Yep.
On the right-hand side?
Yep.
You drive up the little hill, and then you're there.
Yeah, you can't miss me.
You can't miss you. And you got stuff going on all over the place.
Yeah. Organized stuff.
Organized stuff. I said that earlier. Turkey basics. What do people need to know? Not about the growth and harvesting, but what do people need to know in your mind about preparing the bird? If it's frozen, I know that if you go on the web and you look at some of the old Betty Crocker cookbooks or whatever your resources are, you can look at those and they'll say, 1 day for about 4 pounds of thaw in the refrigerator. Okay. That's kind of the older stuff. Can't really go wrong with that unless you've got a 20-pound bird and leave it in there for 2 weeks. But what do you suggest that people do?
Well, I think, you know, thawing is particularly a challenging thing for, especially with us, since our birds are pre-frozen.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, in the refrigerator is the best method. You put them on like a cookie sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And then if you want to get all as much of, you know, get the card. We wrap ours in cardboard and wax paper and whatnot. So open it up, get the bag there, put on the cookie sheet, put in the fridge, and yeah, allow probably 2 to 3 days, pretty based on the weight.
Right.
Then if you get in a pinch, you can do the
water bath.
Water bath in the.
I don't remember because you gave me a couple extra bags. I'm a real giblet, gizzards, whatever you want to call them. I'm a real freak about those things. I love them because we'd always try to steal them out of mom's. Her turkey was really dry, but the giblets and the gravy and stuff were great. So, you know, kind of evened out, I guess. Do you guys pack yours in the bird or are they separate wrapped? I don't recall, honestly.
No, we just put them inside the cavity.
Okay.
Yeah.
And that's another thing that I can recommend is when you're thawing that, when as soon as you can, get those out of there.
Yes, because you want that air pocket to the cooler or the warmer air from the fridge to be able to go inside there.
So right.
You can open the bag up and, I mean, leave the bag on there because you don't want the skin to dry out and you don't want stuff falling on the
right.
bird. But yeah, let the airflow get in there. Give it plenty of space. And then also, a lot of people brine. I'm a big fan of brining. And I technically don't know exactly, but the brine seems to work better when it's a thawed bird or nearly thawed.
Mm-hmm.
But that water will do some of the thawing as well.
Well, and the other thing is, I think people, there's a lot of good information out there about, you know, bacteria possibilities and things with any type of poultry. But the one thing that I try to tell people to do is make sure you rinse out that cavity. And then the parson snout behind, or as they used to call it, the preacher's nose, you lift up the tail, and there's always a little cavity in there. Rinse that out, too, when you're doing this, just because There's little folds and things here and there, little folds in the fat. And if you're really kind of, I don't want to say paranoid, but cautious about those things, give it a good rinse job and I don't take a paper towel. I take a cloth, like a well-worn, soft dish towel, and kind of pat the bird dry, and also inside the cavity. And that just works for me. But it gets all the excess moisture off, because I put a little oil on mine and salt and stuff, you know, like that. But that seems to be the best way for me to do it. But I know that sometimes our guests, we've had, as you can imagine, a different and sundry of guests over 30 years. And some of them are quite kind of old school. It's like, just cook it. It's okay. And then others are like, did you rinse this? Or, well, you know, what was your technique? And no, I didn't spray it with Windex or anything like that, you know. So there's a funny story about John Wayne. Just go back to my cowboy roots here really fast. He was working on something, and this was his second wife. And he was a big family guy. So on Thanksgiving Day, she went out and bought a frozen turkey because he was expecting to come home at 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock, whatever, and see kind of Thanksgiving turkey in the process. I don't know if she was Mexican or Colombian or one. She's from South America somewhere. Well, they don't celebrate Thanksgiving. She'd never cooked a turkey, and she was in there with hot water trying to thaw this bird by the time he got home, let alone doing the potatoes or pies or anything like that.
Sure.
He laughed, and they went out to dinner, took all the kids out to dinner. But from then on, she got with the program for Thanksgiving forward.
It's a big deal in America.
Yeah. It is a big deal in America.
And Canada, too. October 9th.
October 9th. Next segment, we're going to have some trivia questions for you.
Not the trivia.
Yeah, kind of take the place of the lightning round this year.
Okay.
For you, like that. Besides thawing it properly, do you have any other tips or tricks for people in prepping their bird or cooking their bird? How do you cook your bird? You smoke it? You deep fry it? What do you do? Roast it?
Yeah, just basic roast. Got one of those roasting pans. Tin foil.
Yeah.
Brine it. Definitely brine it. We're big briners. This year we might try something new. We might just do some turkey roasts and some drumsticks and barbecue, you know, spread things out.
Yeah.
But, you know, the one tip that I would say is, yes, it only comes once a year, though turkey is good all year round.
It is.
Take notes and try next year. Try, you know, basically do the same thing, vary one or two things, but be consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Same brine. Okay, next year I'll modify the brine slightly, you know, and so you can perfect it.
Yep.
But
we're going to take another break. We're going to come back with Mark Anderson from Shampooey Parms. Farms, not Parms. I'm not talking Parmesan cheese here, baby. I'm talking Farms. Right after this. Don't go away. Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT, along with Mark Anderson today from Shampooey Farms. You got a website? Tell them about your website.
Oh, my website's wonderful. My wife put it together. It's www.shampooeyfarm.com. That's C-H-A-M-P-O-E-G-F-A-R-M.
There you go. I had to make sure you spelled it right. I was reading it. You know, it's funny. A lot of people don't know how to spell Shampooey. Especially if you didn't grow up around here.
Yeah, or pronounce it, frankly.
Yeah, it's Jambu.
Jambu.
Jambu. Or Charbonneau.
Yes.
You know? Anyway.
We do a lot of the mumble pronunciation, don't we?
Yeah. Works. Well, I did that for years, too, usually about 2 o'clock in the morning coming out of a bar. But so you roast your birds. You do that. Just before we get into the trivia around here, what side dishes do you like to serve with your bird at home? You just do mashed potatoes, gravy, stuffing. Do you stuff your bird?
No. Do that separate.
Okay.
do that separate. Yeah, those yams without the marshmallows or sweet potatoes, whichever. And then pie.
Gotta have
salad.
You gotta have the. Six. I'll eat one piece of pumpkin pie because it's mandatory. And then I'm a pecan guy after that. Yeah, I'm a big pecan guy. Mm. And then, like I was telling Meathead Goldwyn yesterday, then two Prilosec because I get heartburn. Because I make really stiff whipped cream. I use heavy cream and a little bit of vanilla, a lot of sugar, and it's really, I don't like runny whipped cream.
No.
It's so I do that, and it's really rich, and then I pay for it later.
Yeah.
So it's okay. So are you ready for some Thanksgiving trivia?
Yes.
This could cost you, you know, in the long run. Oh, here's an easy one for you to get started with. Do you know the name of the Greek goddess of corn?
Well, you know, that's right on the tip of my tongue.
It should be.
I don't know what it is.
We're in Demeter. Trouble.
That's an easier one.
Demeter.
Demeter.
Yeah, D-E-M-E-T-E-R.
They have a goddess of corn?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay.
Okay. Well, here's an easy one. I think I asked you this last year, so you should have it right there.
Mm-hmm.
What was the name of the Indian tribe that was invited to the very first Thanksgiving feast? The tribe name, like, you know, Cheyenne or Arapaho or something like that.
Kalapuya.
Close. Wampanoag.
Wampanoag.
Yeah. Wampanoag. So here's the bonus question with that. What was the name of their chief? Excuse me.
Chief Wampanoag.
No, Chief Massasoit.
Dude, this is not fair.
Okay. What does the term cornucopia mean? You should know that one.
I think it's an abundance, a certain degree of abundance. Or the cornucopia itself is this horn of
Horn of plenty. The word turkey is said to come from the Hebrew word what? And I know you're not Hebrew, but I just, well, maybe you are. I don't know. You know.
Large bird.
Yeah, but what's the actual Hebrew word?
Don't know.
Tuki. T-U-K-K-I. Which means big bird or pheasant bird.
Oh, does it really?
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. I love this. Okay, I'll give you a free one here. What part of the turkey is saved and snapped as a superstitious good luck custom?
That would be the wishbone / collarbone.
There you go. What year did the first Macy's parade, Thanksgiving parade, start? And Macy's weren't, I'll save you some grief. Macy's were not the first ones to do a Thanksgiving parade. But we'll save that question for another time. But what year did the parade start?
46.
24.
Jeez.
See, there goes another one of those jokes. 46, 24, what about big turkeys and never mind. What poet wrote The Courtship of Miles Standish?
How is that a turkey question?
It's Thanksgiving. Miles Standish was in Jamestown. First Thanksgiving.
Okay.
Plymouth Rock.
Okay.
Okay.
I slept through that class.
That was about 4 years. Longfellow wrote that. True or false?
So nice.
You got a 50-50 on this one.
Oh, okay.
Okay. The real Plymouth Rock is cracked. I've seen it. I've been back there. The real Plymouth Rock is actually cracked. True or false?
True.
Yeah. Do you know when it cracked?
No.
During the Revolutionary War.
Why?
I don't know. It didn't tell me.
It's an actual rock, though, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah,
It's the one they've got now is a kind of a, it's about half the size of this council right here.
Mm.
And it's got a little fence around. At least it did. I haven't been there for 20 years, but a little fence around. It said Plymouth Rock right here. I think the actual rock was actually down the bank further, whatever. It was interesting to go there. I also went and saw John Belushi's grave over at Martha's Vineyard, so what the hell. The town of Plymouth, Massachusetts, which we were just discussing, celebrates this on December 11th every year. And in honor, it's called Forefathers Day. I'm giving you the answer here. Who is it in honor of?
Our forefathers.
Mm-hmm. The people who founded the Plymouth colonies.
Yes, that's what okay. I meant.
Yeah. What year? There's three parts to this question. This is the last one. Last part. What year did they found, was the Plymouth colony founded? There's a test, people, if you're listening to this. It wasn't 1968 either.
Oh, it wasn't.
1763.
1769. Wow.
The first Thanksgiving in 1621 was believed to have lasted how many days?
3 days.
Yes? Yay!
I knew one.
You knew one. Okay. Every year, the President of the United States pardons a turkey, and it goes to a public farm called the Frying Pan Park in Herndon, Virginia. Which president is believed to be the first to pardon a turkey and start this annual tradition? They only pardon one, though. The rest of them aren't so lucky.
Do they? I'm thinking Roosevelt.
Close. Truman. Okay. 47.
47.
Roosevelt did do something with the turkey, but then he ate it afterwards. So, I don't know.
And who put the turkey up as the national bird?
Abraham Lincoln.
I think it was Ben Franklin.
Was it? Okay.
But I don't know for sure.
I think you're right. I don't have all the answers. Mm-hmm. Just the ones here I printed on the paper. Okay, here's one you might not know.
Really?
Yeah.
That's strange.
Before being harvested and sold, the individual cranberry must bounce how high to make sure they aren't too ripe or too green?
6 inches.
4. How many pilgrims were on the original Mayflower?
32.
102.
102 on one of those little boats?
Yeah. You been on that boat, the replica?
No.
It's dinky.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't stand. I'm 6'1". You're tall like I am. You couldn't stand up straight up in some of those rooms.
Dude, life must have been really bad over there to get on a boat with 132 people.
Yeah. How many of them made it to the first Thanksgiving?
Don't know.
About 50.
Ouch.
Yeah. How long was the voyage from England over to here?
Oh, would 3 months be too long?
66 days.
Oh, so.
So a little over 2 months.
Wow, that's not that long. Well, we just said 132 people in a tiny boat.
Yeah.
Yes, that is a long time.
Yeah. I'm sure the sanitary conditions were not the best.
Yeah.
A lot of buckets overboard and stuff.
Yeah.
True or false, the first meal eaten on the moon by astronauts Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin was a roasted turkey dinner with all the trimmings. True or false?
First meal eaten on the moon.
On the moon by Armstrong and Aldrin.
I'm going to say false.
It was true.
Seriously?
But they drank Tang to go with it. Remember that Tang stuff? It's good for taking corrosion off baking pans, if you want to know. We're going to be back, wrap up the show with Mark Anderson from Champui Farms right after this.
If you want to drive a big limousine, I'll buy the long.
Hey, welcome back to Barbecue Nation. I'm JT. We're going to wrap up the show here. We've got Mark Anderson from Champui Farms, who's supplying turkeys to the world out there.
Yeah.
Or at least
the cool people.
The cool world. People. Yeah. I didn't get one, though, so I guess I'm not be cool. You got them at New Seasons. Any place else in Portland you can get them?
Nope. Just New Seasons, exclusive Portland distributor.
Okay. Can they come to the farm and buy stuff?
They can.
Yeah.
Yep. We are open the 18th and 19th for pickup. We have large birds, a few large birds left, but we have our breast roasts and our thighs and our drumsticks and our parts available.
Parts is parts.
Parts is parts. They can visit our website and order most of that fun stuff.
Cool. And then there's other times of the year they can come out and get specialty things from you too, aren't they?
Yes.
Chickens and...
Yeah, we're headed there. We did a few chickens this year because we sometimes start them with the birds. We're doing geese now for Christmas. So we're expanding.
Are you going to have Christmas gooses available?
No, I'm already sold out. Can't believe it.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't even promote. Huh. They're gone. Poof.
How many did you raise?
Only 30 of them.
Oh, well. When you get to 3,000, then let me know.
500.
500? Yeah. That's your limit?
Next year. We're going to go.
I used to cook a goose with the turkey.
Oh, really? For Thanksgiving?
Uh-huh. Always. Hmm. My family's a big dark meat people. And so I would buy a goose, a frozen goose. Same thawing practices, people. And except they never weigh as much as a turkey.
No.
And then cook it, roast it the same day as I did the turkey. There's not a lot of meat on a goose.
But the gravy is amazing.
The amazing gravy. That is true. And I just kind of pick at it anyway, you know? Mm. So I do between a little goose meat, a little neck meat from the turkey, some giblets. I eat the hearts and livers, so I don't, you know, I'm a heathen. But that's okay, because I like being a heathen. But that's what I do. And I do stuff the turkey in the back under the parson snout, because I've got one member of my family that likes dressing that's been in the turkey. So I just make a little ball of it and stuff it up there.
Hmm. You know, it's crazy that I've never heard of this, but I am selling turkey tails. Apparently it's a hot item in Hawaii. So
turkey tails.
Yep.
Do they make a spam? They're big on spam.
I don't know.
Oh, they are. Trust me. They're huge on spam. They stick a turkey tail on a spoofurkey. That's an original. I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. I do know they eat a lot of spam.
Yeah.
And you can stick a turkey tail on it.
Yeah. Whatever.
I don't.
But if it comes from a turkey, we've got it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You ever save the waddle?
No. No, I haven't gotten into that.
Yeah.
We do sell all the heads, neck, and feet and backs for bone broth.
Really?
Yep. Salt, fire, and thyme. They're doing a great job.
I thought maybe you'd sell some of the feet with the tendons still in it where you could pull them and do that stuff.
That does work, though.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. I used to do it with pheasants all the time.
Oh, yeah.
But
yeah.
Maybe to some witch doctor or something. One of those.
Yeah.
Have the spell.
There's not a big market for that. The witch doctor market.
Probably not here around Portland.
No.
But
you'd think there would be a big market in Portland. But
well, it depends on what side of the river you live on, I guess. I don't know. Do you do traditional Thanksgiving, family over, all that stuff?
Oh, yes.
Turkey Day?
Big family.
Yeah?
Lots of them. Craziness.
Do they come and romp at the farm, or do you go somewhere?
It's kind of varies. I think this year we're going to my parents.
So cool.
Next year, probably, I don't know. It varies.
Yeah.
Rotate. Not a lot of traditions on where it's at. Big families on both sides of my immediate family.
So yeah.
It's somewhere, somewhere.
It's somewhere, somewhere.
Yeah.
I inherited those duties quite a few years ago, and I don't mind it.
Well, you do know how to cook.
I do know how to cook, and I've got a big enough house to bring everybody in.
Yeah.
Like that. And a lot of the nephews and nieces are gone. They've grown up. So that makes it actually a little easier. You know, when you got a bunch of, from rugrat to obnoxious teenagers, that time frame is tough because they don't want to eat. I had a nephew that would only eat breast meat at Thanksgiving, and mashed potatoes with no gravy, no butter. And that's all he would eat.
So you had to make separate mashed potatoes for him?
Well, kind of, because he didn't like some of the... I put a lot of butter and sour cream and stuff in my mashed potatoes.
Makes them great.
So I just put a little butter and salt. Do that. He'd have like two slices of breast meat. I mean, everybody else has got mounds of crap on their plate, you know, and he's just eating that. That was it. That's all he did. As an adult, it's different. But between the ages of like 9 or 10 and maybe 17, that's all he would do.
Wow.
So, never ate.
He's missing out.
He missed out.
More for us, though, right?
Right. That's how I got my shapely figure here. We got to get out of here. So, Mark, it's been a pleasure. Glad to have you back. That is Mark Anderson from Shampooey Farms down in Shampooey, Charbonneau. Take the Charbonneau exit, take a right, go out there about 4 miles on your way to St. Paul, and you'll find them. They're right there.
That's right.
All right.
Thank you, sir.
All right. We'll be back, everybody. Enjoy your Thanksgiving. It's coming up. Take care.
Pop a top again. I've just got time for one more round.